Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're now listening to Unfiltered Podcast.
You forget.
Yes. I was surprised. Yeah.
He was surprised.
I was like, oh shit, the pain's still there.
Do you need to put like a brace there or something? Because aren't you just re-injuring yourself?
I don't even know what I need to do. I need to go do something. I'm going to try to get it sorted, Sha.
Fair enough. Nah, just to remind you, like, I'm not taking the piss.
I get you. I should actually, you know. And this is happening the second week in a row. I don't know if you remember. Last week, I had to do the exact same thing.
Yeah. Well,
and then Corey, they still laughed at me. Some people will pay for their crimes.
Not me. Remember when you just tripped? Sorry. No, we offed it.
What I was going to say to you in the car, Joe, is that the worst thing about work is when you know that there's more work for you the next day. I feel like that is like, that's the real kickoff. Do you know what I mean?
I felt that spiritually.
Like, I feel like that's the thing that is just like,
it's never ending.
Yeah. When you know that the workload that you've left today means that tomorrow is hell. Oof. You just start thinking, do I call in sick? But then that means Friday is even crazy.
Because they'll even message you again. Email you again.
Or do I just take the 2 days off and just wait till Monday? Like, you know that thing when people are like, when you're late, you might as well just have a breakfast. Because at that point, like, it's out.
How do you make it through a working day? How do you make it through? Because I could tell you how I make it through a working day.
I don't know anymore, man.
Let me tell you how I make it through a working day. So I start at 9 a.m. As a 9 a.m. I'm at my desk. And then I kind of just, you know, find my way. I might make myself a little tea or something. Yeah. And then it might take me.
Are you a tea guy?
Or coffee or mocha, but it's one of the three in it.
I don't call those like a latte, you guys.
And then that might take me to 9:30 in it. Then as soon as it gets to 12, the day's over.
Why? What do you mean?
I would do as much work as I can. This is when I'm working from home,
allegedly. Midday.
But as soon as it touches 12, I'm kind of. Like, I adopted your mentality. Like, when I see there's work to do the next day, I get deterred. But then I kind of purposely now ensure that there's work the next day. So everything is like, if you send me an email at 2 p.m., nothing is getting action until the next day. I might read it, I might digest in it. So I'll do a lot of work between 9 and 12/12:31. After that, it's kind of, it's wind down time.
Oh my God.
As soon as lunch comes, the day's over, bro. The day's done, innit? So like, obviously you still check your emails and do whatnot, if you have meetings, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But the work isn't as vigorous. If you're just still drafting contracts, you might just do spell check. That's how I make it through a day. As soon as it gets to 12:01, I know my day's basically
and
done.
And because they've seen you, the peak work, that's enough.
That's it. You don't rush through your work at one time. So you have work throughout. So it doesn't feel so overwhelming. Okay, would you have capacity? Yeah. Unfortunately, my plate is kind of full at the moment. That's how I run it still.
Okay, my thing's a bit similar to yours.
That's how I run it.
Because, we have like 2 meetings. I start at 8. We have meetings at 11 to like review caseloads. And then we have another meeting at 1. So I do as much work as I can between 8 to 11. I didn't even deep I was doing this. Oh my God, why are you all programmed the same? So I do as much as I can between 8 to 11. By the time 11 comes, I'll tell them my caseload is looking like this. I've done enough work so that by the time 11 comes, between 11 to 12:30, that's when our next work period, and then we have a break from 12:30 to 1. So you see, I do as much work as I can so that by 1 o'clock I say my caseload is not a lot, but I have notes to do. So I say now that I have notes, I haven't got capacity to add to my caseload.
So it's not as if you're not working. I'm not working, but
I manage it so that the wind down time,
that drafting of the contract, them things there, them things they happen.
The
no
wind
more,
down
bro.
Time between 1 to 4:15 is basically mainly notes. You know, every now and then I get one or two bosses that will come and try and recommend a couple clients to me to review at like 2:30. I say,
Unfortunately, I don't have the capacity.
Please,
because you don't respect yourself.
You're checking in my working hours.
You're checking in my working hours. Sorry, 1 o'clock has come.
Please, 1 o'clock has come. But I haven't got the capacity. I'm writing notes.
There's even that flag. There's even that flag button Outlook in it. So, the way we're doing a working thing every day. But the way I organize my shit, inquiries come in via email, innit? And then when you open an email, sometimes it can get lost. I do my to-do list by using the flag. There's a flag option on the Outlook email. Click on it here, and then I can kind of rearrange in order. If anything comes in after 2 p.m., bro, you are at the bottom of the pile. Even if there's nothing urgent to do, if it's the case that this work is going to take me 3-4 hours on my life, I might message you, be like, I'll get back to you next week.
Yeah.
But nothing will be worked on until the next business day. Business hours for everyone else is from 9 to 1 p.m. I'm done.
I hear it. Mm-mm, you're right, man.
Please, you have to stay sane.
Honestly, for your own good.
For your own good, man.
Better just make a schedule that works for you.
Do you get? That's how you're there at 8 p.m. Are you there? Are you usually there at 8 p.m.? Uh-huh. That's how you're there at 8 p.m. But like, I just need to.
I'm never, like, you lot are still functioning. I'm not even
functioning. You're not functioning anymore.
I'm on it, guys. I have not made it to work before 9. My hours start at 9.
Mm.
Now, I've not, in the past 2 to 3 months, I don't think I've made it to work before 9:30. It's just because, like, the kind of office I work, no one can talk to me and shout at me, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But like when I get up, sometimes I wake up at 5, guys. I just don't want to go to work. Do you know how bad that is? Like,
bro?
Like, it's not like I am not up early. I am, sometimes I'm physically out of my bed. Sometimes I'm not.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm physically out of my bed. You know, like the kid that didn't want to go to school.
Mm.
I just don't want to.
You'll be doing. You'll start hoovering. Start peeling the yam from yesterday.
I'm not. That's like clearly I've needed a break and I'm not taking one properly. But aside from that, even some of the stuff that you are saying, I remember earlier in the year I was doing stuff like that. Like sometimes I look at that to-do list, yeah, and. Like, it's not until they're chasing me like a week after when it's like urgent, like client is going to explode or like I have tax deadlines or like it's not, sometimes it's getting to the point recently, like it's not until it's really, really bad.
Yeah.
That I have to action stuff.
Bro.
It is bad. So I can't even revel in the joy of the fact that you are still functioning. I'm broken. I'm not even functioning properly anymore. I'm not at all. My only thing that I might have that's likely to you is that like from the beginning of the day to around midday, I don't want anyone to talk to me.
Yeah.
After I've had lunch, don't talk to me.
If I have a meeting.
The only thing that's pissing me off right now, and I hope he never sees this, or maybe I'll bleep it. I've got like, there's a senior that employed around like, Mage that works with me and that works on my now remember like beginning of the year I was always screaming that I'm stressed. Obviously they got senior to ease off the workload and the client load, and so we both share the same clients, and then like he gets most of the shit now, but like bro likes a chat. Fucking hell, bro. Like he will like get an email and chat about it, and those, it's one of the things ones, is the thing that is the thing I hate most about work now.
Oh.
And like I used to even have some days to work from home
conversation.
See bro start like he's changed his living situations now, but before, I don't think he enjoyed working from home. Okay. So he started coming in 5 days. I'm meant to have 3 days in office, two in days office. At home. Bro, start coming into office all the time. And you know, when you're at home, yeah, like you just work the way you work to make sure that you get the job done, innit? It's not like the office where you just sit there. So I think a few times he will try to bail me on Teams. Like I might actually be on the desk and I just don't want to chat.
Don't call me unless you've booked.
To be fair, he can't because we work on the same thing. So when he's
don't care.
So basically, so like, see how we've now got into like busy period, yeah? Best believe this guy has gone and cried to somebody and they've had to start making me come into work like 5 days
because he was coming in by himself.
Yeah, it was just him, or like, do you know what I mean? And so you see that time that I used to have, like the bearable time that makes it so that, like, because for like the guy that was my head before him that left around like Feb, he don't chat to me. Yeah. He lets me just work. If he needs anything, he will shout me. Proper. He didn't used to come in. So yeah. I'm already used to that.
Yeah.
Whoever I was reporting to after that, I did not let them come close enough to me to be doing the madness that he does.
Because you've already established how you're working.
Exactly. So like for like a year and a half, I'm used to working a certain way.
Yeah.
But this guy likes a chat. Like sometimes he might ask me to get something done quickly because of a client. And stop talking. Sometimes he'll be stressing about stuff that, and I'm in a good mood. Mm. And now,
I'm in a bad mood.
Now he's like just talking like, so long story short, that's actually been my bane. Like, before people used to say they fake smiles and fake stuff. I've never really had that. Like, basically because in my previous place, yeah, like people knew me. So like you could start talking to me and I would just ignore you. This was when we didn't even, this was pre-pandemic. Like, people knew, like in my old office, yeah, they knew days where they shouldn't talk to me.
Yeah.
And they just knew me in the office like that. Here, few people are like that, but bro still doesn't get it. Like the only time he gets it is the day that days that I really, really want to be a dickhead and I just put my efforts in. And he's the type where I'll put my efforts in and he'll still try to chat to man.
Yeah.
And so man's just doing,
be tapping
so
you,
if
like,
I,
yo,
if I want to be bare passive aggressive, I'll be doing this. Instead of me to stop, I'll be doing that, putting him back in until he gets it that I should leave, man. But even all of that is so, it takes so much out of man.
Yeah.
I don't want to like, bro, like,
yo, like we don't need to do it. Yeah,
adapt to man's work. Let me work, brother.
Understand, I don't want to do the conversation.
Let man work, bro. So best believe that's actually been my bane for a minute now. He was off work all of last week, yeah. My productivity skyrocketed. And he's the one.
That's from a man that doesn't want to work.
Do you know what I mean? Like, but just the fact that there's no one like just. And just man, like he teaches. Like I learn bare from him because he's my senior. He's been doing this years more than me.
Yeah.
He's really, really smart. But like, just all of that, yeah. I don't even know why I started ranting because some of this stuff I have to cut off because God forbid, like two people know I've got a pod at work.
Yeah,
God forbid. It's long.
Yeah, long.
I'm so annoyed that I had this rant. Now I'm just fucked up.
Yeah, now we got to cut out.
Now I got cut out bits. Nah, but yeah, but like, yeah, man, like working it, man.
I don't think I've ever had that. In this place, I don't think I've had everyone's usually one thing I'll say if working from home wasn't a thing, I don't think I'd be able to survive. Like I don't think
you will be. Nah, it's just cause when it's
I
just
say,
cause
think, no when I said I don't think I'd be able to survive, I don't think my social like capability is enough for 5 days a week, 9 to 5.
But you have to do pre-pandemic, you'd have just had to do it. You'd probably be more frustrated at life.
Yeah.
But you'd have just had to do it, bro.
You would have been a bit more angrier.
Yeah, you'd have been angry.
Yeah.
You'd have been a very, very angry person. And people would be getting it at work.
Nah, they'll be getting
it. I think what would be opposite is that you basically learn ways to make sure people get it.
But the thing, they're quite good though. Yeah, that's true. But they're quite good though. So like,
oh, well, your work colleagues.
Yeah, like they're quite good. Everyone tends to respect their own space, and it's kind of like, even like the working hours aren't necessarily fixed as 9 to 5. I kind of structure my hours as so and so to like make sure I don't do madnesses. Like, but some of them be like, oh, I'm off at 2 p.m. I just go pick up the kids. I was like, okay, I'll log in about 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I log in now, yeah, you'll see my team leader still there for some unknown reason. Yeah.
It's just like it's the one that place where they just need you to get the work done.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But with the type of work I do, timekeeping is a massive thing in it. So like you have to make sure you account for a certain amount of time. I don't think I counted for something. And then this woman emailed me, be like, oh, can we have a chat? I said, oh god.
Oh god. Oh no.
Look, can we have a chat?
I said, oh good.
Me, everyone, I'm off work now until like next week Wednesday. Timbati did by Moshe catch up me.
I've Jill's burning inside.
It's not, but he has more holidays than me.
When I say I'm struggling, I'm struggling. Every day is a struggle. I like tomorrow. I'm dreading tomorrow. Nothing's wrong. I just don't want to work.
I had some stuff that I wanted to get done so that I don't have to meet you when I came back. And then one thing just took so long today.
And I wanted to be angry, but I was just like, well, I'm not here tomorrow. And this guy is going to have to do so much stuff.
Mm. When you find out, what day?
Wow, we don't say that in the air, you know.
Oh, do we not say that? Oh,
no, yeah. Like, nah, said, yeah. No, no, witches and wizards. Come on.
Yeah,
no,
nah, witches and wizards. That's what I'm saying. I forgot.
And so, yeah.
It's only right. It's true, still.
I'll tell you off air.
Yeah, off air.
No, we got that from our parents on my life. Because you asked, yeah. Like, and yeah. I said,
like, it's funny, like this isn't even going out anytime soon. But still, I just know
yeah,
not to.
Nah, you know better. Yeah. By the time this comes out, you'll be back.
Yeah, I'll be back. Yeah, exactly, I'll be back.
Well, actually, doesn't matter. Yeah, you have to know better. It's true. What other things did we get from our parents? I think.
Ah, it's plenty.
plenty. You don't eat from everyone's house.
Bro, like, you know when you're coming from church on Sunday and you go and visit one auntie and uncle and say, are you hungry? No.
No, auntie. You know what? Yeah, they fed
your mom,
me.
You know that P. Diddy meme when you're both, when you're looking at your mom, she's looking at you.
Are you hungry? No, sir.
They fed me, and mom worried. Yeah. No, what's up? Your mom is not hungry, but don't worry. The mom will, don't worry about
taking. The only time you're allowed is if your mom just says, yeah, I'm at John. It's like, yeah! That's the only time you're allowed to eat, bro. And there were certain people's hearts where you are never, ever allowed to eat. It's either your parents suspect witchcraft, or like there's like a little like kind of
beef.
Yeah, but it's not. Sometimes it might not even be a beef. It's more like it could be beef, but it's more like a flex thing.
Yeah,
they don't want them to be flexing on you.
You can't say
your Yoba parents here are mad. They have mad pride that we don't know that we've inherited. There's that. Let me see, what are the things that parents teach us that we just inherited?
No, that beef was crazy.
No, Harry Potter. Did you guys watch Harry Potter?
Yeah, nope, never watched Harry Potter.
No Harry Potter.
No, I've never watched Harry Potter. You watch Harry Potter?
Nah. The liberal says,
I never watched Harry Potter.
Okay, my dad, not my mom.
Is you ain't even allowed Lord of the Rings? Mad. No Harry Potter. No Halloween.
No Halloween. That's a standard.
No trick or treats.
No trick or treats.
No Tooth Fairy.
No Tooth Fairy. Nope.
Did I do Tooth Fairy? I think I did Tooth Fairy. Like
Wow, you know we're up.
There was a Santa Claus.
You did not know the struggle.
There was a Santa Claus though.
I'm going. So we're gonna deconstruct this Tooth Fairy thing. I'm about to tell you guys, it's going to make you guys laugh. Like, because there's always a striking difference between our childhood. It's just because like we experience life similar now, and we have some similarities, but like you learn to know that I'm very different from you, right? Yeah. So I was talking to one of my boys yesterday, and he was talking about Tooth Fairy, and I was like, do you know what's interesting? Do you know what the Tooth Fairy thing is in Niger? Cool. Now the story they tell the kids is that if you lose your tooth, you have to throw it. You have to find a roof near, and you have to throw it on top or over that roof, or else the tooth will not grow back. When you lose your first tooth, no one warns you. One day you just see that your tooth shaking and then it comes off. And you're like, mommy, and you think you're about to die.
Yeah.
And then like, there's two reactions. First of all, they're never as alarmed.
Yeah.
Or in my reaction, they weren't alarmed. And so like, you're washed with, why are they not caring about me? Or is this a normal thing? Okay, I should calm down. And then it weren't my parents that even gave us this. It was my uncles and my aunties. And it's my uncle and my aunties that took care of us at the time. That I was like, so what you're meant to do is throw it over like any roof that you see and don't, or else it won't grow back. Right. That's now,
I've never heard that.
I grew up in Lagos. Now, the point of that usually is to distract the kid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And letting the kid detach from the tooth and the pain.
Yeah.
And focus on the fact that they've done something so mysterious that the tooth's going to grow back. Yeah. So like all your energy is now focused on, oh my God, it's going to grow back. Thank God that I found the roof. That's what they program. And here, I can't believe they just made you guys capitalist slaves from kids
to put you under
a pillow.
No.
And wait for money to come.
To be fair, they tried to do it with me. Because my siblings are considerably older, so they tried to do it with me again to give me the suburban lifestyle in it. Like I was probably the only one that would have been able to achieve
that.
But by the time we moved to where we moved, it was already too late, bro. You're there putting money on the pillow, bro. Yes, I daddy. Like daddy, I can see your hands.
What?
We're sleeping like this.
Like daddy, what's
Did you wait? Did you get? You didn't get too far, did you?
Nah,
did you have any friends that talked about it and you was like, it just didn't come to me? Okay.
We have two fairy in the bricks, bro.
I just realized. Yeah. No.
Not in the bricks, bro.
Hush reality of life too.
Hush reality of life. People are using their teeth for the wrong reason.
Oh, it's not even funny, bro.
Sorry, man.
People are losing their lives. So too fair is not, it's not the news of the day, fair enough.
Please.
What about, and then I was talking to my boy and he was like, what about Santa? I was like, well, the Santa I was watching on the elf was white and the one in Nige was black. So you do with that what information. Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's like the fairy one they told man about, like, did not look at the one that we saw at school. I just knew that he gave man presents, but I knew he definitely went the same one that was flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Cookies and
milk.
Get out of here, man. Did you guys have the Santa thing?
No.
Either. Okay, cool. So it's fine. Similar. Did you have the Santa thing? Come on, camera. Come and show them that that you grew up mad rich. Come on, camera. Show them that you had a way different.
The one thing that I never had, I had Christmas tree, but I don't know if that's that.
Because we're just talking about the beliefs. So you are Teferi. Like, so, did you actually believe in it, or did you know they were?
No, I think for some time, but then like you said, it gets to an age where they want to put it under, and you're kind of awake, and you see, I'm just like, what the hell? But I think at the beginning,
And did you like? Did you tell your friends? Oh my god! Like, I got this from the Tooth Fairy. Bradley, do you remember ever doing that?
I don't remember?
No.
Probably not. Maybe yes, maybe no. I can't really. It's so long ago. It's like when you're like 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, true. I will by Santa. Yeah. You definitely believe in Santa for a good while.
For some time.
Yeah,
and then you get to an age where you just know that.
That's costume.
Do you know what I mean? No, it wasn't even. My dad is like random. I don't know what's wrong with my dad. Like the random Christmas that he decided that he's going to dress up as Santa Claus and then like wake us up. My brother, to be honest, I have a younger brother. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it was to kind of like
get him,
be cute for him.
Yeah.
But at that point, I was just like, this is
too much. This is
ridiculous. You're not fooling me.
But when you were younger, when you used to see some of those presents under the tree, you thought it was genuine Santa.
Yeah.
So here's a funny thing, and I've got two things for this. Yeah, here's a funny thing. Like the conversation then went with my boy yesterday, saying, like, I'm not doing any of those things with my kids.
What?
I'm not doing Tooth Fairy. Like that lot are going to go and destroy the school when their friends tell them they get money from Tooth Fairy, and they're going to be like, well, Tooth Fairy doesn't exist. going to ruin it for the whole year.
And here's the
funny one though. And I think I know I'm saying it now, but I think the Santa thing, I just have to back it for a good while.
Saying 100.
Like it will be robbing the kid of a certain
German
miss.
Yes,
I think so. Like
the gift came from God.
See, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
From even six and a half, seven, like, bro, don't tell your younger ones, but like, and if you like, tell them in it, but
I'm trying to think.
Even 6 is young, you know.
I know it is, but I don't actually even want to be telling them that Santa exists.
That's what I'm saying.
Why do we oppose this idea?
But I was never told that Santa doesn't exist. It just wasn't a fantasy that was ever given. Like even the Tooth Fairy, do you get what I mean? Like,
I understand this, but I'm saying like the kind of world that we live in, like I just have the idea that if I had kids and they grew up in this country, like they'd get that stuff from their friends and school and what they watch anyways.
So they're
indoctrinated earlier before you actually have that information to give to them. And then...
No, but that's what I'm saying. I don't feel like... Okay, how did you know that Santa wasn't real?
One day at school, I just deeped it. maybe at home. Like, you get it? My parents never told me. I don't think my parents ever even... They never entertained the idea to even...
Yeah, same.
I don't think it was a...
So what I'm saying is I grew up to a certain age believing it was a thing.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So obviously you grow up watching TV shows and you see that at this time of year.
I have no memory recollection of me ever believing in Santa.
But what I was saying is, so at Christmas time, my parents never claimed that Santa
did something,
gift.
Something.
Yeah, like I might just look at a gift and a part of me be like, oh, okay, mommy and daddy got this. But also, Santa, which one was
my Yeah,
but that's it. And then one day, suddenly, okay, this is mom and dad. Like,
yeah,
but I'm, they never broke anything to me, but they never have told me anything.
And your son said that I got sent to tell you.
Kids to like the grotto, like, and grotto? Santa and give you a gift. And
I think, I think all of that, like, you can, do you know what I mean? Yeah, let them enjoy. Yeah.
That's nice to do still.
Like, that's so cute.
No, I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just like, I never experienced this in it.
So do that to be fair.
I'm saying grotto. So like the most I would have downloaded, you know, the most I would have understood would be from watching say TV show. Like, you know how you have like that's a River special something.
Yeah.
And then you see that like Santa went to her. Yeah. But even then, maybe that's how I learned that it wasn't real. Cause it was like,
yeah.
Cause from the TV show, it was kind of like, you all see the dad dressing up as Santa, but like, well, bro, I see you, my guy. Like,
fantasy ruined type of thing.
Did you get?
Interesting though.
No, Connor, you can tell your kids.
Well, that Santa's not real.
Yeah.
I said, I think if they've got the mixture already, I think around 4, 5, 6, it's nice to let them feel it. But I was thinking I might not. And this brings me to my next point. I feel like a lot of the time, we as a generation or in general around this age, or maybe, honestly, I think we talk a lot about parenting and how we feel like we might approach parenting. Mm. And it's such an idiotic way to do things, because I deeped into that. I was like, I don't even parent myself.
Mm.
I mean this in a way that like, there's stuff that my parents have parented me to be like, and I do not correct some of those things to parent myself.
Mm.
Like, who says I'm good and like, I would then be so good and decisive in parenting the kids in that way. Yeah. Obviously, when you have kids, you have to parent them. You have to, but like, we actually talk, like, we always talk about it like it's just something that, yeah, when I have kids, I'm gonna do this. When I have like, oh, I'm gonna be so great, I'm gonna make the best decisions, and I'm gonna, but like, what'd you say?
So practically.
Bro, I don't even take care of myself well enough.
So you're saying that, the thought process of saying I'm gonna do this when I'm a parent
is idealistic.
Because in fact, you're not there yet.
Yeah, I think it's borderline stupid, because like, you just.
Bad.
I think it is.
I can't agree with you. Honestly,
of course, you have to plan. But like, I always feel like I bet there was bad things that my parents used to say. Like when they have kids, they're going to be going to. Never happened.
Do you know? I agree with you, because you see all the time. Yeah, like there are moms that then kind of have children and they kind of give the experience to be like, oh, there's certain things I say I'll never do. Like, I'll never try to distract my kid with an iPad, this, that, and the third. And bro, that boy started crying. I said,
give him the iPad and let him be quiet.
Exactly. I get what you're saying, but I almost think it's necessary for you to have some form of idea of how you want to bring you, like how you want to, I don't say raise your child, how you want to raise your child. Like for me, obviously I'm saying this now, I don't think I'll ever hit my child as a form of discipline. That's a mixture of different things though, but yeah, I just don't see the necessity in it, and I've seen it go the complete opposite way. That child becomes immune to it, and then now he's beating you. So
that's possible, because you were beat as well though.
Yeah, and I wasn't beaten as a child. Yeah,
how grumpy you turned up. I'm taking the first.
If only they are giving me.
Choose your kid. No, I'm joking. Yes, I think it's almost a necessity for you to envision or have some form of idea of what you at least want to try.
100%.
To kind of facilitate how you want to bring your child up.
100%.
I feel like, in fact, wait, were you beat as a child, brother?
No.
Of course not. Can you not see a jibota girl?
Stop it.
To be fair. You see it? Stop it. I didn't want to assume. That's what I thought I asked, but I didn't think so either.
Really? No. How can you tell?
Because
you have inner peace.
And you said princess syndrome.
It's not funny.
Oh my god!
It's not even feel like that. I'm just saying shit.
From how we've seen you and the way you act.
I don't think I was ever bad.
And your dad. But you don't have to be bad. But you don't have to be bad to be beaten.
Okay, yeah, that's some problematic there.
Bad people grew up problematic though.
No, but I'm not even saying like it could still be justified.
Because you said as a means to discipline your child. Is why you wouldn't, right? Mm. Not in the extreme where, okay, the child isn't necessarily being bad, but they're still getting beaten. But let's say if I needed to be disciplined, like, when I was growing up, I was a very complacent child. Like, if they tell me to do something, I'm probably doing it. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't really rebel. Mm. mum will say, do as I like. In fact, even when we'll go out, I might ask why here, there, and everywhere. But to the extent where my mum calls her big sister, sister, I thought her name was Auntie Sister. I never asked. What's Auntie? Bro, I still refer to her that now. But like, yeah, when I was younger, they used to laugh at me and thinking, why are they laughing?
What's
but
funny?
To that extent where it's like growing up to discipline me to that, I don't think that I would have ever really annoyed my parents to that extent where they would
discipline
me. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So, yeah.
It's an interesting tactic, actually, beating your children anyway.
Interesting.
Like, I don't necessarily think it's well, don't quote me. I don't think within reason, so everyone using objectively common sense to determine what that is. I honestly think is a bad way. I just don't think it's the most effective way. Like I don't think it's the most effective way.
I used to think it was necessary until I had some conversations last year. And now I don't think it is.
Why did you think it was necessary?
Because that's how I was raised. And I wasn't beating bears. I can count on my fingers how many times. I can't actually remember being beaten. Like, it's only because I went to school in Nigeria that like people actually beat me. Like in Nigerian schools, they beat you. Do you know what I mean? But like at home, no, not really. I don't necessarily remember being beat crazy. Especially by my parents. Though. Like,
I've been roughed up though. One time.
That man's
something else in it. I can't remember what, I think maybe adolescent stage because I was in the old by then. And then I can't remember, but if you know me, I get irritated real quick. And I think mom just started to irritate me, and then
No.
It's nothing bad. It's actually nothing bad. I was more surprised. I was like, rah.
Like, this man can read.
No, and then he like grabbed me, and then you grip some man, they're like, you're about to grip me up. That. And I looked at him, I was like, are we sure? And then
you didn't hear me. You're trying to fight me. You didn't hear that one.
No, he's not
aggressive.
No, he's not.
he's not violent.
He actually no. He isn't aggressive. He's not aff like that. He's not fresh like that. So he won't say something like that. But it's kind of like, if you're not listening to what I'm saying, innit? But yeah, it was fine. It was fine. I was just surprised. I was like, raw. Like,
really took it.
My man, you're putting, like, the shit that I had just used like this. You. I said, wow. I said, okay.
With the beating thing, like Connor, yeah, I used to think it was necessary for a long time, but I think I got smacked a lot, fair bit growing up in it, yeah. And that's why I thought it was necessary, because I understood the consequences of my actions and what they could lead to. But I also, like, I'm at a stage now.
Sorry, take it easy.
Yeah, it's awesome that, you know, you swallow your saliva. Flashbacks. No, but I'm at a stage now, yeah, where, like you said, I understand that it's not necessary, but I see how in different situations, like why it can be a tool used. Yes. I just don't necessarily think it's a tool that I will always use. Yeah. But I'm certainly not going to sit here and say that it's something I'd never ever do. But my mindset compared to when I was growing up, in the sense of like growing up, yeah, like when I was like 14, 15 now to take care of my cousins, like my first tactic for when they were naughty was that, yeah, they need a smack. Mm. Just that, because I grew up thinking that way, yeah, whenever I'm naughty, the way that they rectify my behavior, because I grew up learning that the consequences of my actions
is going to be a smack.
Do you get what I'm saying? But then now I'm at an age where I know it's not a dat.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily say that. Basically, if I was ever going to use it, it would be a very, very extreme. But at the same time, like Gio said, if you get to an extreme that you have to do that, then it's kind of like, is that going to change anything for you?
Yeah.
And the irony of it is, like you said, isn't it, that I'm imagining a hypothetical situation, which when it comes, it'll be like, well,
you don't know what you'll do, I guess.
What I was going to say, before I took a tangent, was that I feel like, so, are we first or second generation Africans?
I'm different from you because
us. Okay.
We're first gen. Yeah, we're first gen born here.
I'm ground zero. I came over as a grown man. I was 15 years old.
So we're first gen.
First gen, if you're born here.
Yeah, so we're first gen.
To be fair, I was born in Natch, but I came here like 4. But still, I might have been born here.
Kind of. So yeah, you'll classify. Okay. I will classify.
Yeah. So, but my point is basically, as first gen Africans, I feel like planning, I feel like because of the nature of like our culture and how our parents have raised us, planning how you're going to be as parents is important, just because there are a lot of things that like our parents haven't adopted of Western culture that we have a better understanding of, but we also want to stay close to home.
Yeah.
So it means that there's a mix that you have to consider into how you're bringing up children.
100%.
Which is basically the biggest reason why I feel like it's so prominent.
Why, as a conversation.
As a conversation. But obviously, like you said, the irony of it is all these things come and then like you have a child.
You actually have a child and you can't.
Like it's so...
You're just in go mode. It's happening in real time.
Yeah, like...
There's no planning. Let me just think about what I said I wanted to do, bro. When that kid is crying, yo, watch the TV, my bro.
Because you know what made me deep is I keep feeling like sometimes like I feel like parts of this year's has just gone by without me. Like, I remember starting so strong and I did some things the way I planned up until like maybe the, like this year, has collapsed from the middle of it. So around, from like July, it has just been an absolute nightmare. And I was like, I don't think I, as a parent, if I was my parent, I am not parenting myself well. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not even, like, this is not the best way I can live my life. What gives me the idea that when, at that time, I'm trying to navigate whatever my issues then, that I will be
equipped,
making the best, decisions for some other youth that's so like me that it pisses me off, but I still want the best. Do you know what I mean? It's like, most of the times I empathize massively for my parents, because I'm like, you're going through right now just because you have, they have four of us. Four!
One is enough.
One is too much.
But I think that's why like it works so well. Like you said, every parent is going through their own internal whatever, whether it be financial or whatever the hell it is, or as adults, you're going through whatever. But the reason why an adult is good at bringing up a child, because the likelihood is that they've already done that shit before. So you've all heard from your parents, I wasn't born yesterday. With like the old them, all them Bible saying, I've done it before. The nothing news under this song, all of that is based on the fact that, bro, I've seen it, man. Like, obviously, there may be like different. Context. Like things may come in different shades, but the but the principles and the foundations of the shit is going to be the same. You're going through exams. Me too. I went through exams. First heartbreak. Me too. I did my first heartbreak.
My parents don't be saying that stuff to us. Are you guys still finding out new stuff about your parents?
No. Sorry. Hold on. Let me. I'm not saying that this is something that this isn't explicitly said.
Yeah.
It's more of a case where like
they know
they raise you like that, but like do I find out new things about my parents? I believe so. I'm gonna say yeah.
They don't be letting anything slip, and then I just find out I'm like, so you were doing that?
Yeah. And then you have a newfound respect for them in certain aspects.
Less respect.
Yes. I still want to say that on the post growing day, but yeah, sometimes
mine was more or less because I'm like, you're a hypocrite.
Yeah. Mean, like holier than thou. Meanwhile.
I always get up in my same position. I'm thinking there's some stuff that I've done. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to tell this to these youths because I don't need to embolden them to say that they're just as mad as me.
Our parents, that's what their mindset was as well.
But then
it's like now that we find out.
The funny thing is there a case where like maybe the better way to parent is actually that when like man actually has bare honest convos with the youths, like when you've got the youth like, listen, I get it, and this is a little chunk of what I went through and so I dealt with it. I can imagine it must be so difficult to actually to be that vulnerable,
but I think that's the best way.
It might not be the ideal
way of raising a child.
This is what I'm saying. See how it's so easy for you to say this now
because I'm not in it.
I
get it, but I don't think they didn't do it because necessarily because of vulnerability. I think it's more so that's just been it's been a status quo to have this certain superiority complex from your child.
I think vulnerability is a part of it, actually,
because in order to be superior to someone, there's a certain strength that you have to display
against them. Invulnerability.
Exactly, invulnerability that they must have. But I think that's why I'm trying to think like our relationship, they didn't really I'll not lie, they flex more. No.
You have to look at it like, it's a techie one, isn't it? But for example, like, is it easier to take advice from somebody that's had a similar situation similar to yours? Probably.
Yeah.
But then when you have parent and child, there's a hierarchy, no matter what it's, when you have that, it's kind of like, how much does that overshadow the importance of the situation?
Yeah.
And I feel like, as a parent, it's hard to overlook that.
It's also hard to strike a balance.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It must be so hard to strike a balance. Like, because you've seen this person from in their nappies. And now, you know, they're a 20-something-year-old adult.
Yeah.
Being vulnerable to you. Do you let them into a certain stage that, like, okay, like, I've been through this.
But why is it hard?
Because they weren't parented the way.
See, that's
because,
like,
because I feel like parents learn from parents, and like, more than we know, I think we're gonna adopt a lot of things that we're gonna have to try to correct. That's why I keep saying it's so easy to say this is what I'm gonna do when I'm there.
But
naturally, you're going to want to do just what you've seen.
I agree. However, I disagree because everyone realizes there's certain things that their parents done that they hate. Like, they just detest. And that those will be the things that will probably stop with us. Like, there's certain things, like, I can't even think of an example, but there's certain things that they do.
Mm. Gabriel, bring the remote.
Yeah. As a pay example, let's say something like that I wouldn't do, because I know how much I hated it. And I know how much it probably affects a relationship between a parent and a child because it's done or not done.
Mm.
Yeah.
What about the subtle things that you like them and you don't realize that your kid is not gonna like? Because you don't know what your kid's like. So let's stop that. You've been okay with this whole time, and you and your parents are okay with, and that you is like, well, I don't like that.
But for me, I guess that's where, okay, again, this is idealism because I'm not in the situation, but that's where communication shit comes in. Because if me and my parents have a chat about like certain shit that they do that I don't like. I'm saying things were hard. Things were very easy. We understood each other very well.
Yeah.
It was more because you stay there and I stay here, really, but it's kind of like things were very easy.
Jules like this at work. But if you can't talk to him.
But if we had, if there's a open dialogue and communication, and even like the vulnerability part, yeah, when you don't see the person that you're supposed to learn from being vulnerable, it's hard for you to learn to do that to yourself. Yeah. So you grow up life with like, I don't think I know how to be vulnerable. I'm very open. Oh, I was going to lie. I am very open in it, but I think, in terms of seeing vulnerability, I just don't know how to display that. And I don't think it's a thing that I'll probably learn how to display that. So even little things like, like my brother, I don't like people touching me. Like, I don't like hugs, for example. Mm. And I'll probably say that's something I've adopted because we never like
done that.
Hugged. Like, why are you?
You have huggy? To teach
yourself. So are you saying that you might, you're going to have to teach yourself to be huggy to your kid? Or?
Yeah. Or some, so I'm not saying our parents are affectionate. My parents are very affectionate, but like the idea is that there's certain things that hasn't happened to you that may be beneficial if you learn it for yourself, your future. And there's certain things that have happened or they do to you. That you're going to have to unlearn for a better relationship with your kids.
But you've basically proved my point as to how, you know, there's so much that we can say that we can't do until we're there. And also like how you probably, it starts with how you treat yourself basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How you deal with yourself. Cause.
But that is, we're going to get to chicken and head, but it's okay. Egg and chicken.
What'd you say?
We're going to get to egg and chicken.
Oh, nah, it's not even that. I'm not doing that with you today, please. No, I don't actually have the strength for that. But, it's a funny one. It's a funny one. If you think about it, that everyone has an inner child. You all have, like, you have unresolved stuff that's 40 from your childhood. And like, it displays in itself in a lot of the actions that you take as an adult now. And I guess what I've meant this whole time is that like, I've realized that I don't parent that child well. So I don't know how the hell, like the idea of having kids genuinely is not the most, and I think we all share this in a way, it's not the most comforting thing to me because I understand how I did not ask to be here.
Yeah, the stakes of it are massive.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's terrifying. Like,
it is massive. Yeah.
And you're like, some kid's gonna come just because you was enjoying cheating with your partner.
Yeah, he's just barebacked.
Just for one day he was gonna.
No, it's mad. It is because
It's actually 0 to 100. Yeah. When a child is here, it's like, this is so real.
Because there's no days off. Do you get
there's
like,
no days off?
Not a single one.
I can't
one.
Just like, put some
new buttons. No, like, I can, like, I can't give you to someone. I can't give you back.
And this is what's crazy. And the ones, the parents that did.
How do you look at them?
The parents that did what?
We ostracized them in society. Like, exactly. We finished them. Yeah. Shit.
As in, that gave
like,
them.
The parents that tried to do what we're saying. So, like so.
Because, so just interrupt you, because I remember, you know, all four of us here are saying you can't turn off because of the way that we've been socialized.
Yeah.
That's why we're saying
you can't. Because with us, if you have a kid, you are forced to keep the child. I'm assuming that's what you're saying.
Well, the word's not forced. Forced is a very scary word.
You can't say that, I'm done with this responsibility.
No, you're forced to keep the child. The word was accurate that I chose. You're forced to. With us, we're going to have this debate. With us.
I'm not debating.
We're going to.
Sorry, go on, I don't think there's a debate.
Because I don't mind we cut off your point after. But you're going, Joe.
No, I'm waiting for you to finish.
With us, whether it is culture, you're forced, if you have a child, you're forced to have that child. Like, I can't explain it any better terms. If it's the case.
By who are you forced by? I'm trying to understand why you use the word forced.
Forced, yeah. Because that can refer to something else.
Because,
what are you referring to? Because I'm slow sometimes.
The child is already here. We're just saying that you can't say, "Oh, I just want to walk away from that child."
I'm not talking about that. No, I'm not talking about the before.
Okay. I'm saying
it applies to the before, but I'm not talking about the before. So
the U.S. come out. I'm trying to understand why you said forced, because it feels like you're absolving the person of the responsibility by saying forced.
It's not me absolving the person of responsibility, but it's me understanding that someone. An African first generation child, if they have a child, it's very hard in African society to say that I'm going to go and give the child away.
I think even in general,
yeah.
I don't think it.
When we say responsibility in terms of that, you can't turn it off. It's like, okay, cool. That child is crying at 3 a.m. You can't just say, I want to give that child back to whoever.
You still have to deal with the responsibility of looking after that baby. Yeah, societally, you can't be a shit parent, or you become the ostracized side of the shit parents. So you become like
we're
the
not,
category.
We're not speaking right now. We're not speaking about the same thing. I was speaking about
people being able to give their kids away.
Adoption.
I say a deadbeat dad.
We're not speaking about the same thing.
That person's going to be looked upon as a shit parent, but really and truly, he might just thought, I can't deal with this right now.
Mm. No, but we won't do that.
What do you mean?
Do it.
He's a shit parent. There is no but. That's the problem. There is no but. He's just a shit parent.
Because of course.